Investigate your differences. Assimilate your similarities. Disseminate yourself.
Yeah, yeah, I know. You all want to know, what is it all about?
This is what it's all about.
Go, live, go, live, go. Now you're getting it.
What is it about a big rivalry? Go nuts. It's simple. A rivalry is personal. It divides friends and neighbors, fathers and sons, grandpas and grandmas. It can tear a city in two. Yeah, rivalries are special, but the big ones are rare, right? Like a presidential election, or a steel cage death match, or interleague baseball on Fox.
Today on the Fox Saturday Baseball Game of the Week, bitter rivals take center stage when the Los Angeles Dodgers collide with the Angels in a West Coast showdown.
When these teams get together, it's absolute mayhem.
SoCal will be split when the Angels try to spark a playoff run against their Tinseltown neighbors. But with baseball's most ruthless pitching, the Dodgers are looking to claim bragging rights and stay atop the NL's Wild West.
Caught him looking.
It's Angels-Dodgers today when interleague play heats up on the Fox Saturday Baseball Game of the Week.
Coverage begins today at 1 p.m. on Fox 11.
What do you think of when you hear the word explore? Traveling to the unknown, seeing new worlds, getting out on the open road? Well, believe it or not, the most exciting place to explore may be right in your own backyard. Mountains, oceans, forests, deserts. California has more surfaces than the moon. And the brand new, totally redesigned 2002 Ford Explorer is one of the best ways to explore them. It has a longer wheelbase, a wider stance, a roomier interior, and a first-time-ever four-wheel independent suspension. It even has an available third-row seat to give you enough room to fit seven passengers comfortably. The perfect balance of form and function. When it first came out, the Explorer changed the way we thought of SUVs. And it's about to do it again. The all-new 2002 Ford Explorer. Because your imagination has no boundaries.
KLSX Los Angeles, a service of Infinity Broadcasting.
On the web at fmtalki.com.
97.1, the FM Talk Station.
Powered by Subway. Eat fresh.
Stay tuned for E-Trade On Air, sponsored by the E-Trade Group at AIGDirect.com.
OPEC and the oil question, what's in store for gas prices and oil stocks? The correlation between investing in the market and gambling. And how'd you like to skip the lines and go straight to your seat? E-tickets promise to change the way you go to the movies. E-Trade On Air is next.
From the E-Trade Center on 55th and Madison Avenue in New York City, I'm E-Trade On Air's Kate Bonner.
And from our studios in Chicago, I'm Jonathan Honig, Portfolio Manager at Capitalist Pig Asset Management. Sitting next to me and filling in for the vacationing Tom Hudson is Greg Temel, CEO and proprietor at BeyondTheBull.com. Hey, Greg.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
I'm glad you're here. Thank you. You've been sitting with us all week long. And what a way to end the week. Kate, what the heck happened on Friday at the New York Stock Exchange? Did somebody pull the plug out of the wall or something?
Some sort of a devil down at the New York Stock Exchange. But Jonathan, around 10:10 on Friday, nearly half the stocks were halted in trading for nearly an hour, and some stocks like IBM didn't resume trading until 2 o'clock.
That didn't exactly put the traders in a good mood. On Friday, the Dow fell 113 points. The Nasdaq was off by 48. And Temel, even Intel, this thing beat the street and surprised the street and made the street happy, but the stock closed down. What happened briefly with Intel on Friday?
Well, like you said, it came out. Everybody had good expectations, but the mood changed. The mood changed before the opening bell on Friday when Juniper came out with a strong warning. JP Morgan downgraded it. And then on top of that, you throw in that the NYSE lost power, software problems, something, and there was no reason to put money on the table. People get a little nervous. They figure, you know what? I'm going to hold back for a day.
Well, we've got a lot of stocks, talk, and information coming your way. We're going to talk about Intel. Also, Philip Morris, gas prices, the networkers were stacked right here on E-Trade On Air. On Tuesday, your friendly neighborhood sheiks over at OPEC, and OPEC is Temel. trivia question. What does OPEC stand for?
The Organization of Petroleum Exporters something.
Close enough. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, you know exactly what they are, of course.
Of course.
Is a oil cartel that met this week, and they meet regularly, basically deciding how much of that precious oil spigot are they going to turn on. And as many people now are departing on their trips, and we're getting into the thick of the summer driving season, that means a lot for oil and gas prices. Let's get some insight now. Which way are they heading? And can you profit from them over this long, hot summer? Kevin Kerr is energy market analyst at Spike Trading in Chicago. Hey, Kevin.
How are you doing today?
I'm excellent. Thanks for being with us here on E-Trade On Air. Talk to me about this meeting on Tuesday. Essentially, OPEC saying no change in their policy towards supply at this point.
Disappointing news for those of us. I know you here in Chicago, you must know what it's like to pay quite a bit of money for gasoline. Prices have really not gone down as much as we had expected them to after the holiday, especially with the amount of supply that we have on hand. OPEC, I think, has really made it clear that they're going to stick to the price band mechanism. Are you familiar with that?
This is like if a basket of crude oil gets above a certain like weighted average of days, then they'll release more supply. It's kind of a slower way of making those supply-demand decisions.
That's correct. They've kind of narrowed it down to a $26 to approximately $30 range. In other words, on the high end of the band, they would increase production to lower costs. And on the other end, they would cut production to increase cost in that band. Now, people are wondering if OPEC is going to adjust the price band now and maybe make the price band higher with a basis of $30 going up to $35. And we're going to have to wait and see about that.
Okay, we've seen some of the, at least on the commodity side, like natural gas and even gasoline and crude oil, we've seen some of these come down in recent weeks. But on a year-to-date percentage basis, I mean, crude oil is still up 10, 12%. And at least when it comes to my gas pump, I'm still paying over $2 a gallon.
Well, I mean, you're one of the luckier ones here in the States. Living here in the Midwest, we pay some of the highest prices for gasoline, and maybe a lot of listeners don't know. But there are different blending requirements. Different parts of the country have different requirements. It makes it very difficult for refiners and end producers to make these gasoline grades. And here in Chicago, we have several different types. It's all environmentally based, oxygenated fuel, and it's very expensive. And that price is tacked on right at the pump for you.
Tamil, these gas and oil companies, though, are doing pretty good, especially in a tough market. They're outperforming.
Absolutely. It never ceases to amaze me how when it's time to lower prices, they don't come down nearly as fast as when they're jacking prices up, because, you know, those just seem to happen overnight. But, Kevin, I had a question for you. You know, over the course of the last few weeks, there's been a lot of talk about maybe we might see $3 gasoline by the time the driving season gets around. You still think that's a possibility?
Well, back in March or April, I was quoted as saying that $3 gasoline was possible this summer. I don't know if we'll see that at this point. I think what we did see early on, we did see prices shoot up here before the Memorial Day weekend, and we really were poised to go towards that $3 mark. I think at this point, though, as we've seen the supply numbers come out the last couple weeks, refineries are really running at full capacity. I think we went up 2 percentage points in this week's API report, and that's really showing that the refineries are going full steam ahead. I think supply that's on hand right now is pretty good. As long as there's not any other pent-up demand or any refinery shutdowns, we should have enough supply to get us through summer. The problems are things like the crop of today. We have a tropical storm looming, could affect 3 or 4 refineries in the south, and you get 2 or 3 of those shut down, and that could really affect supply. And we could head for $3 gas, very possible.
My understanding has always been that the amount of oil that OPEC produces is not necessarily correlated to the price of gas because we're running at, you know, 97-98% refining capacity. Is this true?
It is true, and something that a lot of people didn't understand last year when President Clinton was still in office and we had the heating oil concern. It really wasn't that we didn't have enough crude on hand. It was that we couldn't refine enough of it to make more heating oil. Refinery capacity in this country has been at a low for over 10 years. There hasn't been a new refinery built. So a lot of that crude that was released from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve actually had to be sent overseas to be refined. And that's the real problem of what comes down here. Certainly supply is a concern, but refinery capacity is more of a concern.
We're speaking with Kevin Kerr. He is energy market analyst at Spike Trading in Chicago. Now, Kevin, I know you look at the politics of the situation, and there's a lot happening, especially when you consider the fact that, am I right, Iraq has basically said no more exports. We're not letting any more oil out of the country.
Well, this isn't the first time that we've heard that from them. Of course, traders always pay close attention to any announcements out of the Middle East. And Iraq has made these kind of threats before, sometimes veiled, sometimes followed through on them. The bottom line is that the Saudis, and Saudi Arabia being the largest producer in OPEC, can actually make up any supply disruption on the back end.
And where can we profit off this, Kevin? I mean, let's get down to a monkey business here. Yeah, I mean, what companies specifically are going to benefit from your forecast in the oil and gas markets this summer?
I think all your listeners probably just want to look at the long-term bigger companies that have done very well consistently. ExxonMobil, obviously BP, Chevron. These are all very strong performers. And like you say, they've been turning a profit here, a good-sized one, for quite some time, without too much difficulty at all. And they weather the storms of these price drops pretty well. And I think what you're going to see is if gas prices stay at this level or over the $30 barrel mark, this is when the producers start to look and say maybe it's time to start drilling here domestically again with prices that high. And I think overall there's very good investment long term.
Kevin, Greg Temmel again. I've always been fascinated, in particular when it comes to talking about oil and gas with the airlines, because they talk about having these huge reserves. I mean, are the airlines like Continental and Delta and all these big airlines, are they still in a good position holding on to reserves at lower prices, or are they going to be facing a shortage this summer?
Not unlike a lot of other industries. The aircraft industry, the airline industry, is really having to learn how to hedge their bottom line with using futures or using whatever means they can. I don't know how much they actually stockpile. I'm sure each company has their own risk management, hedge management team. But a lot of companies that weren't looking at having to do this in the past, certainly companies that use natural gas, are really having to look at how to lock in their bottom line by using futures.
Right now, I mean, is the general consensus out there that prices are coming down? It's just a question of when, or are we still in a we-don't-know situation?
I think that the right now, with the supply numbers that we have this week, if refineries can stay at the capacity, yeah, I think prices are going to soften quite a bit. However, again, we have a lot of wild cards out there. We're heading into tropical storm season, and we're seeing that with, I think, the Chevron plant in Pascagoula, Mississippi, being affected by a tropical storm. Any one of those refineries, if they have a major shutdown, could affect supply.
And just in time with the fact that everyone's bought their new SUVs, right, Tim?
Absolutely. You know, those big gas-guzzling things.
The Range Rovers.
I'll tell you, the thing is here, my mother-in-law is actually visiting from Spain, okay? And Europeans are used to much higher prices than we are, paying $7, $8 a liter. Gasoline is not unusual.
They also drive those tiny little cars.
And they drive the tiny little cars, exactly. And I think here we've been spoiled for such a long time that any type of price adjustment up over $2 becomes this huge huge problem.
Well, I know I filled up my tank the other day. It cost me $46.
A couple names to watch there from Kevin Kerr. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be here.
I hope you'll come back once again. Kevin Kerr is energy market strategist with Spike Trading in Chicago. It's our chance every week to ask you, how much do you really know about the stock market and investing? And one of my favorite topics, money. Temmel, how many brand new U.S. banknotes are printed every day? You know, down there at the Bureau of Engraving or whatnot, the press is rolling all day long. How many new U.S. banknotes are printed every day? Is it 2.1 million?
I was hoping you were going to make this multiple choice.
Is it 6.4 million? Is it 13 million? Or is it 38 million? How many new U.S. banknotes printed every single day? Send us an email right now, etradeonair@etrade.com. We'll have the right answer coming up a little later in the show. And coming up a little later in the show, we're going to talk about personal finance. What the heck is preferred stock? Plus, we'll go to the movies and find out about new innovations in ticket taking right after this on E-Trade On Air.
On 97.1, the FM talk station.
On a regular basis, but also during severe weather, whether it's snowstorms, landfall, hurricanes, tornadoes.
Weather.com is an IBM e-business.
I'm Mark Ryan, Chief Technology Officer of Weather.com, the internet arm of the Weather Channel.
As a top 25 website, Weather.com needs a top e-business infrastructure.
We may need to scale to 30 million page views within 2 days. We update our maps every 15 minutes in most cases.
IBM helps Weather.com on many fronts.
We needed a very robust infrastructure, hardware, software, but also the integration skills. IBM came to the table with their infrastructure parts, including Linux servers. We not only update the information, but also serve it back to our customers at a very high volume. IBM enabled us to achieve this goal.
Visit IBM.com/ebusiness for more information on IBM e-business infrastructure.
IBM is a valued infrastructure business partner of Weather.com.
Hi, I'm the laziest guy in the world, really. Today I had dinner with two friends, the richest guy in the world and the nicest guy in the world. The nicest guy in the world said he had to tell us about the E-Trade Mutual Fund Center. Richest guy in the world said, make it quick, time is money. The nicest guy in the world said that E-Trade Power Search can scrutinize over 5,000 mutual funds. He really had our attention. Well, except when the sexiest woman in the world walked by our table. I especially like the part about being able to do all this using a laptop in bed. Just answer some simple questions, and E-Trade gives me a list of the funds that match my goals. And just then the bill came. Turned out the richest guy in the world is also the cheapest guy in the world. He didn't even pick up the check. The nicest guy in the world did. Take my advice. Enjoy a nice four-hour nap. Then roll over and visit mutualfunds.etrade.com or call 1-800-ETRADE-1. Now, I can't promise you'll be the richest guy in the world. That role's taken. But you won't be the dumbest guy in the world. E-Trade Securities, Inc. member NASD, SIPC, response and access times will be varied due to market system and other conditions. Power search is limited to mutual funds available in E-Trade Mutual Fund Center. Oh, forgive me, the fastest talk in the world didn't show.
AIGDirect.com presents Don't Be Fuelish, useful tips on how you can improve your car's gas mileage. Make tire pressure a priority. Underinflated tires are the number one cause of avoidable fuel loss. Also check your brakes. A maladjusted or stuck parking brake can hamper your car's fuel efficiency. Improving your car's gas mileage can save you money. For more useful tips and a free auto insurance quote, visit AIGDirect.com. AIGDirect.com, the online source for buying auto insurance.
Frustrated by the IRS Schedule D and filing taxes for your investments? Let Gainskeeper.com help solve your capital gains tax headaches. Gainskeeper automatically adjusts for wash sales and corporate actions. Keep your gains. Log on to Gainskeeper.com today.
Welcome back to E-Trade On Air. Time now for some useless information. If jurors really wanted to punish Philip Morris for causing the cancer of one of its best customers, don't fine the company a paltry $3 billion. That's less than 4% of its net worth. Jurors should instead make Philip Morris's board of directors listen to a lecture on the dangers of smoking from my mom and dad. Then make them smoke a whole pack in one sitting. And nothing cool like Marlboro Reds in the hard pack. Make them smoke Virginia Slims.
Well, Philip Morris was in the news. Like it or not, this company got in some serious trouble this week. And even though it's been a stellar performer over the last 12 months, it was down, what, 3 points on the week and just another half a point on Friday after a Los Angeles jury awarded a guy by the name of Richard Boken $3 billion. Greg, that's $1 billion.
You know what? It's inconsequential how much money.
Well,
you know, the guy started smoking in 1957, and you go back and you look to 1998 when the big award came. Remember when all the states got together and they sued the tobacco companies for the health care costs of the citizens? They got awarded $206 billion. That's how much money that Philip Morris has to pay over 25 years for reparations for the amount of money that's been spent on health care. But you know what? All they're doing, and that, by the way, is 2.5 times Philip Morris's annual sales.
It's 40 times the previous record award that was given in a similar case back in 1999. But this is going to have, we can't underestimate this. Sure, the stock's up 88% in the last 12 months, but this is going to have some long-term implications for Philip Morris, no?
I really don't think it is, because all that's going to happen is the new smokers and the current smokers, people like me, unfortunately, who are still smoking, are going to start paying higher taxes and higher prices for the cigarettes. They're going to keep passing it along. As long as Philip Morris has customers to sell this product to that are still addicted to it post 1966 when they started the labeling, and you can't sue anymore for anybody who started smoking after 66, that class of people is going to die off eventually. And you know, the current smokers are going to pay off those awards, and once the awards are paid off, the prices will be so high you don't think Philip Morris is going to, you know, drop the prices in 10 years.
Good rationale, but Kate, this is still not good news, especially ahead of the spinoff of Kraft from Philip Morris.
Exactly. I was just about to say, you all are looking at it from the glasses half empty. I'm looking at the glasses half full. I want a piece of this Kraft IPO. You all, this is set to be the second largest IPO in history, raising $8.4 billion. And did you know that in 99.6% of American households, there is a Kraft product? But what I have heard from some analysts on the street is that one of the problems with Kraft is that it will have two co-CEOs. And Greg, you know that doesn't always work.
No, that'll be the way they start off, but eventually one will have to go.
Kate, you raise a great point. A lot of people have kind of a natural aversion to Philip Morris because they say, well, I don't want to own a cigarette company. But the truth is that this company is everywhere. Some of their brands include Greg Miller Beer. Heck, I know you're familiar with that one. Ice House Beer, Milwaukee's Best, Tombstone Pizza.
Jell-O. They own Jell-O.
They own Jell-O. Velveeta, DiGiorno, Cool Whip. I mean, Kate, this company is a lot more than simply cigarettes. And like it or not, it has been a fantastic performer. I mean, even after it's up 88% in the last 12 months, it still only trades at 12 times earnings. earnings and yields over 4% dividend. That's a pretty healthy sounding stock.
That could have been why on Thursday the stock didn't get hit as bad as we thought it would. I mean, right after the news came out, the stock dropped about 2.5%. But I bet those fund managers are hanging on to their shares just waiting for that IPO.
And Greg, you have to admit, I know you're a tech guy, you like technology-oriented stocks, but dividend-paying stocks and value-oriented stocks have been kicking butt since year's start.
It's an absolutely wonderful thing. And you told me last week also that you're holding on to your Philip Morris.
Yeah, I do. I have a position in my fund in Philip Morris, and I agree with Kate. I think there's a lot of hungry mouths out there. A lot of Chinese people have yet to smoke a Marlboro cigarette, and they're looking forward to it, and so am I. Just keep those dividends coming. You're tuned to E-Trade on Air.
Okay, let's talk about personal finance and financial planning. Today we're throwing preferred stock under the microscope. E-Trade on Air's Chris Chan has this story.
Preferred stocks are sometimes considered